Hello and welcome to another episode of the Investors Chronicle Extraction podcast, in which we speak to executives of London's natural resources companies. I'm Alex Newman, a writer at the Investors Chronicle, and today I'm joined by Steve Curtis, Chief Executive of Caledonia Mining, operator of the Blanket Gold Mine in Zimbabwe. So Steve, could you please start by giving listeners a quick overview of the Blanket Mine, its economics and your slightly complicated ownership structure?
Yes, certainly, Alex. Caledonia bought the Blanket Mine from Kinross in 2006. Prior to that, Caledonia was a exploration and development company. We acquired the Blanket Mine for the reason that it had a very good pedigree and it had been in operation for about 100 years when we bought it. Zimbabwe has been undercapitalized for a long, long time, 20, 30 years. The Blanket Mine, because of the quality of the resource base, has managed to survive through very, very difficult times. Its major strength is the fact that it produces positive cash flows and has done for many, many years. 2009 onwards, we were in a dollarized economy, and Blanket continued to produce positive cash flows, and production was between 20 and 30,000 ounces per annum. Like any mine, it needed to invest, and we were in the process of finishing a shaft. We finished that shaft in about 2010, 2011, and that was really just equipping, and then production was ramped up. We operated an underground mine down to about 750 meters. Development was very necessary, and we needed to go deeper. So in 2014, our COO put together a development and investment plan, which took us into the next phase of Blanket Mine. By then, you know, it was nearly a 110-year-old operation. And the proposal was to sink a new shaft down to 1,080 meters, and develop two new operating levels below the 750-meter level, effectively building a new mine underneath the operating mine. Blanket, because of the nature of the operation, could fund this expansion out of its own cash flows. Now, the motivation and the ability to do the 2014 investment plan, and we'll talk about that a bit later, I'm sure, was only possible because in 2012, Caledonia embarked on a full indigenization process at the Blanket Mine, whereby we took on four new local partners who were allowed to subscribe for shares in Blanket, whereby the four of them acquired 51% of the Blanket Mine. Caledonia retained its 49%, and that enabled us to motivate further investment now that we had dealt with the aspect of ownership from a national perspective. Having dealt with indigenization, and we got full support from our local partners, Blanket was mandated to invest free cash flows into the Blanket Mine, whereby we could develop the mine for the future good of all shareholders. The partners did not have the funds to effectively pay for their share subscriptions in 2012. So Caledonia extended loans to the partners, and the agreement was 80% of the attributable dividends payable to our local partners would be retained by Blanket, and then paid to Caledonia to repay the facilitation loans that had been provided. So the disposition of ownership was dealt with in the fact that we had done it for value. We were going to be repaid because Blanket was cash generative and it was declaring dividends, and we could deal with the future by being able to invest.
So, and just to bring that up to speed, I mean, you said in your recent results that you may increase your stake in Blanket above 50% following changes to the laws, which you previously cited. So how might you go about doing this, and how quickly can you do it? And have you got any idea of the limits of the potential stake increase?
I think what's important, although the law now stipulates that gold miners do not require local partners at all. So we as Caledonia could own 100% of Blanket. That is in terms of the current legislation. We, though, feel it is very important that in the industry that we're in, and the fact that you're you're operating in a rural community, is very important to have local ownership. So our intention ultimately would be to retain the 10% shareholder, who is our staff trust, and the 10% shareholder that is a community trust. We would certainly like to retain local ownership to the extent of about 20% held by those two parties. And the other 31% that is owned by two other groups, we have engaged in discussions with them to negotiate that we could restructure the ownership of Blanket. And at the moment, 16% is owned by the Zimbabwe government through a indigenization fund that was established. And they have taken the decision in principle that they are prepared to sell their 16% shareholding to Caledonia, and that would immediately flip us from the 49% to 65%. And then the other 15%, which is owned by a consortium of Zimbabwean businessmen, we will engage in discussions with them as well to try and restructure whereby we could acquire their Blanket ownership, but in settlement, we would offer Caledonia shares.
I mean, there's lots of things to pick up on there. One inference from the idea that some of the businessmen you talked about who are existing shareholders in Blanket would potentially become shareholders in Caledonia, surely that would necessitate some sort of equity placing, would it not? If you're going to need to create space on the shareholder register for what is quite a sizable interest.
Yes, there would be an equity placement to that party, that consortium. But remember that there would be a gross economic value of their 15% in Blanket. And then there is a facilitation loan
right.
that they still owe for the initial subscription. So the placement up at the Caledonia level would be the net of those two. And so it is still money, but it is not the equivalent of 15% of Blanket mine.
Mm. Got you. Okay. Recently, WH Ireland said that you were the premier Zimbabwe recovery story in London. I mean, regardless of whether there's much competition there, I can see there are a lot of attributes to the company which should enable them to make that assessment. One, you're planning to grow your production by about 43% by 2021. You pay a dividend. You've got very low operating costs. But talking about the Zimbabwe recovery story, I mean, isn't this all a bit premature an assessment to make? I mean, we've only had, let's not forget, a coup in November. The laws are changing quite rapidly. State is selling assets. A lot is in flux. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that this is a recovery, does it not?
Well, I think you need to look at the two aspects. Caledonia and Blanket on its own merits, and then the environment in which we operate on its merits. Now, Blanket, I think, has demonstrated over the period that we've had ownership and control, that it is a very good asset, and the ability to conduct business in Zimbabwe has been possible for us, and it's because sure. we generated sufficient cash flows of our own. So, as a project, I think that demonstrates that the Blanket mine, under the management of Caledonia, is a very good asset. Then if you get to the rating that we attract because we are in Zimbabwe, yes, Zimbabwe has had some very, very tough times and has not been the investment destination of choice. The change in the president last year took place inside of the ZANU-PF party, and there have been some very bold moves made by the new president and the party to say, we recognize that the country is in a state of decay and some radical changes need to take place. Zimbabwe has, although it's been isolated, has not operated in a vacuum. They have had interaction and discussions with the international community, and certainly with their financiers, because they owe the world a lot of money. So they would have understood what are the impediments and some of the issues that they had on their policies that were unacceptable, and indigenization was certainly one of those. And you can see that the president moved very, very quickly, and he said, we are open for business, we want to be attractive to investors, and we hear that you say a 51-49 legislated ownership of everything is not acceptable. And he changed that. So yes, we're in very early days. Currency is still a major issue. So, you know, the world hasn't flocked in and said, Zimbabwe, you're off the hook, here's some money. Everybody is waiting to see how the elections take place. And again, the president has openly said that he welcomes international monitors and that they will conduct free and fair elections. The world is waiting to see that happen, and that will be a significant step.
I wanted to get a sense from you, Steve, how since November and since, for example, the changes in the export credit incentive that were recently announced in your favour, how investors' sentiment appears to be changing in your conversations with either existing or prospective investors, given that you are listed also on three exchanges.
The amount of interest in Zimbabwe is enormous. I think what people understand is that the cost of entry into the Zimbabwe environment is not enormous. And the ability to springboard from a low base is really possible. What is different about Zimbabwe, though, is there may not be the projects of the scale that some investors would be looking for. But when we have evaluated opportunities, we have found that the returns that you can get on a Zimbabwe investment are very, very attractive. And even when you weigh in the economic and the country risk, you can get a very acceptable return on an investment because, number one, your cost of entry is relatively low, and your ability to leverage off a very educated labor force enables you to bring projects to fruition quite quickly. So I think investors are excited. I can certainly tell you from the amount of time I spend in the country, the faces you see, the hotels are full, and it's not just mining. So people are looking, people are interested, but the truth of the matter is a dollar investing doesn't have a conscience. You know, it can as easily look at Zimbabwe as it can look at Botswana or Zambia or Mali or Ghana. And it'll come down to the multiplicity of factors that are taken into account. There are people who are investing and they want to be first to the party.
Sure.
And you know, that is what Caledonia is wanting to do. And the first step of that for us is to get majority ownership of the Blanket mine to demonstrate that the country and the government is very serious about investor ownership and security of ownership.
Sure. You mentioned that, you know, a dollar doesn't have a conscience. I mean, if I was considering an investment in Caledonia, one thing I would certainly look at is the safety track record. I mean, you're not an enormous, well, Blanket is not an enormous mine. You had two fatalities last year, another one in February. How can you assure investors that in getting to 80% ownership, that's going to improve?
Well, you're absolutely right. We are devastated by the three fatalities that we've had in the last 12 months. Two of them we consider non-mining related, and the authorities who investigated alongside of us are as baffled as we are about those deaths, but they are still deaths that took place underground. The third one was a mining-related issue where, unfortunately, some practices were not adhered to, and the deceased was subject to a rock fall. We have had safety procedures at Blanket front of mind for all the time that we've owned it. And if, because it was owned by Kinross, those disciplines have been established for a long, long time. We have reinforced the factors and the training around safety very aggressively since the first fatality took place. We took a different approach in addressing the issues as to how could this have taken place. And we've stepped that up another level since the third fatality. And this is not crisis management. Safety is really a journey. We need some change of behavior. When we went back into production in 2009, when dollarization came in, we had 550 people on the mine. We now have 1,400 people on the mine. So the demographics of the labor force has changed. Mm. We've increased the number of safety training officers. We have got a different profile in the length of service and the age of our miners. We recognize that, and we are addressing through training and the best practices that have been used in mining communities, especially the South African mining community, to address safety. We can never guarantee our investors and our shareholders that Blanket is going to be a perfectly safe place forever. But I can assure you we take safety very seriously. The Blanket Board does and the Caledonia Board does. All the aspects from near misses to fatalities to medical cases, all of those are looked at on a weekly basis, and we have to try and understand what is happening inside of the minds and the behavior patterns of teams and groups and individuals, because mining is a dangerous business.
Yeah.
And we spend and are spending more money to ensure that we equip our people as best as possible to understand their responsibilities towards themselves and to their colleagues in terms of safe mining practices.
Well, Steve, I really appreciate you taking the time to walk us through the Caledonia story today and for your time. To listen to more audio from the IC, go to our website or search for us on Acast, iTunes, or wherever you normally get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.